That was a great song. And hey, let's put our hands together for Miss Melanie. She did a good job putting that together. Don't forget, before you leave, if you see some of the ladies that help put together the food for us, tell them thank you and that you appreciate it. I know I do. Before we get started, let's open in prayer. Lord, thank you for this day, God. Thank you for the time, Lord. Lord, we pray that we'd come in here with a heart that's open and ready to receive what you'd give us, Lord. God, we understand that we've fallen short sometimes, Lord, but Lord, we know that you'll lift us up, God, that you'll restore us, Lord. Lord, that's what we're here for, Lord, to be restored and to be with you, God, and to worship you, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, I still believe God is holy, and there's nobody, nothing close to being like him. I believe that there's nothing comparable with what God can do in your life. I don't believe there's anything ever that has ever been that will separate you from God once you become his. But raise your hand if you know what an agenda is. An agenda, much like you know, is a list of things that you want to accomplish over a period of time. Did you know that there's one out there that has an agenda for your life? You know, if you're saved by the Lord, if you are covered with the blood of Christ, you know, Satan has an agenda for you. And what that is to destroy your thoughts and destroy your walk with the Lord. And I hear this more and more every day. Someone will come to me, whether it be a minister or a youth minister or a child or grown people that say these things. You know, I thought I was saved all these years, but I'm just not sure now. And I ask them, why? And they say this: I just don't feel saved anymore. And that's disheartening. It's disheartening, and that's what I want to speak to you about this evening. And if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to turn to the 8th chapter of Romans. And we're going to start in the first, and we're going to read through 11. But back to what I was saying, I was on the phone with a man today, and he is 68 years old. And he's in a situation to where he's living at home, his home, and all of his brothers and sisters are living with him. He's the only one with a job. And both of his children are living with him. One is 18 and one is 45. And what has happened is they have beat on him spiritually until he's almost lost hope. And he's somewhere where I just described to you just a few moments ago. But I tell you this, if you are saved, there's nothing that can remove you from the Lord. Ever. It's very troubling to hear these things from people. So let's get started. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be offered, to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. So this lesson is titled, Knowing I'm Saved. And a lot of times, you know, someone will get discouraged in their life and then they'll begin to doubt. Am I really saved? You know, Paul speaks to that and he's talking to the Romans here. And what he talks about is right off the bat, right at the very beginning, he assures them, very first sentence in this chapter, he said, therefore there is no condemnation who are in Christ Jesus. There's no backing up. Once you're saved, you're saved. That's what Paul says. He said, you know, often what happens is when you are saved, you begin to learn things that you're not used to. Your thought is different. And sometimes, and I'll be honest, I remember when I first got saved, I thought, well, just exactly how did Jesus really save me? You know, it's in the book. It's right here. On the cross, shed his blood and died. And literally what he did was, what Jesus truly did was he took the punishment for the things that we've done and he put them on his back and he got on the cross. And when he died, the punishment died with him. Like that. Gone. It's not about what we're going to be able to do to earn it. But Paul goes on a little farther and he starts speaking about man. And he's talking about man who lives according to the flesh. Well, what's according to the flesh mean? It means making the decision from the flesh. And then he goes on a little farther and talks about people who make decisions that are led by the Spirit. I'm getting just a little bit of ring, guys. Do y'all hear that? I'm trying to pull that out. Being led by the Spirit. In other words, I have been saved, I've accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit now lives in me, and that's how I'm going to live. He goes on a little farther after that, and he even says this. He says, there's no way for anyone living in the flesh, it's impossible for them to please God. No matter what you do, it'll never happen. But the man controlled by the Spirit will be with God one day. So how does that happen? How do I know I'm saved? Think of it like this. One word. Faith. Faith. We've heard that word a bunch. We've almost heard it so much that we just let it pass by. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You've heard a word so many times that it doesn't lose its meaning, but you've heard it so many times it just moves on, you know? You got to have faith. Who's heard that before? So many times. You know, you got to have faith in the Lord. That's a real statement. You really do have to have faith. And the definition of faith is actually found in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hoped for and assurance about what we do not see. Well, the truth is, I hope I'm going to see Jesus one day, and I'm confident that's going to happen. That's what it is. I'm confident I'm going to be with the Lord one day. One day I'm going to die, and I'll go to be with Him. I believe that. I believe that everything that God has said is true. I also believe that everything that Jesus did on the cross was enough to save me. And when I accepted that, and I believed what He said, that was enough. I believe His words. What's happened is, there's so many things outside of what I just told you that are factors for your distraction. Some people say there's more than one way to heaven, but there's not. There's only one, and it's Jesus. That's it. There's only one way there. And it's by His blood and His death and His resurrection that we're saved. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing I can do to earn it. That's where we are. So if it's about faith, if that's how I know I'm saved, if I believe that, what do I do to reassure that? Well, you know, really what you've got to do is you've got to bear down and believe exactly what God says about you and me. Believe exactly what he says. And if you really want to break it down and start reading, it starts in Genesis and it goes all the way through Revelation. This book is filled with Christ. There's a lot in there about you. There's a lot in there about me. There's a bunch. Romans 10:13, it covers it plainly. If you want to know about you, it said anyone that calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. Now look, I don't want you to speak out loud. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Have you ever wondered, am I really saved? You see what I'm saying? Look at that. The house is full. Put your hands down. Am I really saved? That's important that you know that. It's important that you know you really are saved. Why? Because everything hinges on that. So if I believe what God says, that anybody that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, raise your hand now. Did you call on God to save you? I did. I did call on God to save me. Do you believe that? See, some people go through years of their life after salvation, through torture, believing, I went down there and I said some words and I believe God saved me and I pray every day and I believe that God convicts my heart, but I just don't feel saved. Don't doubt that God loves you. Don't doubt that he actually knows who you are. Let me tell you where that comes from. That's from Satan standing in the background saying, hey, don't you remember what you just did? There's no way you're saved if you just did that. And after enough times, if somebody hears it over and over and over again, and they don't have the right relationship with God, to be honest with you, sometimes people start to believe it. There's no way I'm saved. And after they start to believe it, eventually they give up. You know, the Bible speaks to that too. Ephesians 4:27 says, and don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give him no room. Don't let him ease in there and say, you're not saved. This is what you say. Satan, get behind me. I'm his, not yours. You don't have the right to say that. Move along. Move along. See, God's mercy is big enough that penalty's paid. When you're saved, this is what happens. When a man or a woman is saved, and don't make the mistake, and this is what I hear, this is where all of the conversation I said earlier stems from, that now that they've sinned again and they know it, that they must be lost. Let me fill you in. I have sinned since I was saved. I've done that. There's not anybody in this room that has not gotten out of line. But when God's mercy is big enough to cover that up, what he really wants to do is he really just wants to bring you comfort. He wants to bring you peace. And truly, he wants to bless you. He wants to reassure you that you're his and to pay no mind to the enemy. Here's what it means for you individually. When God wants to do all those things and you know it, just let him. Just let him do those things. Don't fight him on it. You know, I fell off a telephone pole, and this is coming completely off the hip, so I hope this goes well. I fell off a telephone pole, and I hit head first, 20 foot. And it fractured my skull right here and right here, and I was out of it. I was awake, but I don't remember that day. It exploded my collarbone, and they took me in an ambulance, and Alana was three months old. Jack wasn't even here, all right? And they put me in an ambulance, and they were going to life flight me. They couldn't get a helicopter, so they put me in an ambulance. We're going to take me to one hospital, and they changed their mind, and then take me to another hospital and changed their mind again. And then they decided to take me to Grady, which I'm thankful that they did. But while I was in that ambulance, I later found out that I beat the stew out of everybody in there because I was combative. And all they were really trying to do was help me. All they wanted to do was get my upper body, the clothes cut off of me, so they could see what was wrong. why I was bleeding from my ears and my nose, and how come I was starting to lose consciousness. And every time I would wake up, why I would try to knock somebody out. I mean, that's kind of funny, but at the same time, I really did those things. See, I wasn't in the right mind. I had no idea that they were truly trying to help me. Sometimes that's the way we treat God. God's trying to help you and me, and we're fighting Him the whole way. Sometimes it's just basically surrendering. You know, the doubt that we get in our lives that creates those feelings, you know, it can be smaller than the presence of God in your life. The presence of God can be big enough in your life that those doubts start to fade away. You know, I heard a quote one time. It said, seek faith at all cost. It's the evidence of the answer of God. In other words, if I cry out to God, when He answers, sometimes it's just that I believe in Him. You know, I've heard a few people say, I just don't feel saved anymore. Well, ask yourself a few questions. Look at the evidence in your life and see if you come up with the same thing. One, do you pray? Raise your hand if you pray. If you're not saved, who are you praying to? Who are you praying to? Number two, raise your hand if God brings conviction in your life when you do something wrong. Another sign of the Holy Spirit. So why is it that people like that would think they're not saved? Why is it? Again, they say, I just don't feel saved. Sometimes it's baby steps. Another quote. Faith isn't the ability to believe into the long, misty future. It's taking God at His word and taking the next step, not steps. It's simply saying, Lord, I'm struggling. I believe You're You, and I know I'm me, so I'm going to do this and then wait on You. And when He gets there, then I'm going to do it again. Over and over and over in my life until I am very comfortable with God. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah got some bad news. Do you know what? Not this Elijah right here. I saw you look. No. He got some bad news. You know what he did? He was afraid. He ran. He ran and he hid under a tree. And while he was under that tree, I believe that he was in rough shape because of his fear. Physically exhausted. And an angel come along. Put his hand on him and woke him up. And he gave him some food, some drink. And then Elijah went back to sleep. And the angel touched him again. And when he touched him again, they woke him back up. Said, I'm preparing you for the journey that you've got ahead of you. Eat. And Elijah did. Now look, think about that. When your faith is starting to struggle and sputter and backfire, and you know what I mean. You ever let God fix it? You ever tell God, I'm not moving. I'm going to stand right here because I'm afraid to move without You. Lord, I'm waiting on You. You know, there's some scripture that speaks to that. But truthfully, what God is saying at that time is simply this. Relax. Take it easy. It's going to be all right. You ever heard one of your mamas or daddy say that to you? Just relax. It's going to be fine. Calm down. That's what God's doing. Don't get all in a nervous run around. You know, in Psalm 46:10, it says, be still and know that I'm God. That's really where we got to get ourselves. Stop doubting the Lord's sincerity. He loves you. He wants to save you. And if you're already saved, you're His. You can't be moved. You've got to be okay with that and accept that God really, truly loves you. The truth is, He's probably working in your life right now. getting you ready to where all of you at some point are going to be just like them behind you. You're going to have a life. And I've got to go into that portion of my life ready. That's what I've got to do. And you know, when once you've been still enough, long enough, and listened to the Lord, and being comfortable with being saved, God's presence in your life will be big enough that you can't hide it anymore. You won't want to hide it anymore. It will come, it will glow around you. Let me tell you, this is comical a little bit. There was a debate going on Monday of how many times can someone be saved? And it was bouncing around, and I heard several people letting that argument bounce and bounce and bounce. And they finally got to me and they said, how many times can a person be saved? And I said, once. And they said, well, what happens if you're saved and then you realize you've sinned so bad since then? Don't you have to go back and be saved again? No. No, if you have to go back and be resaved, then you weren't saved the first time. You can't backtrack. When you're saved, you're saved. That's what it is. And when I clarified that argument, instead of us having fun, everybody got quiet. But this is the way that I had to look at it from my perspective. I had to know that God loved me and accept that, and that took some time in my life. And the way that I did is I had to examine my own actions. I had to look and see, Lord, am I doing what you want me to do, or am I still living in the flesh? And my actions had changed, but my reactions hadn't. You know, my actions, I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. I prayed, I read about him, I learned, I listened. The hunger was big. But when somebody would bring something to me I wasn't comfortable with, if they didn't like me, they said something negative to me, or that's all they wanted to do was pick at me about it, my reaction was just like I used to be. Then I used to question my salvation. Lord, why did I react that way? If I was saved, then I couldn't do that. You know, look at your life. Does the life that you live lead to peace like Jesus? Do you have the peace in your life that when you are around that there things are better? Or is your life much different? Does it bring strife? Is it full of argument? Is there no comfort? And it's never good. It always feels like you're chasing something you can't get. Or judgment. Let me give you another example. I'm a dad, and you know that. I have two children. And occasionally, what they do is they anger me. And anybody that's in this room that's a parent, you've had a child really get you there, you know, won't listen. But when they do those things, sometimes I raise my voice, sometimes I yell. But when I'm finished, and sometimes I point out they're wrong, but when I'm finished, I bring them to me, and I start to tell them, this is why what you did was wrong. Let's do better. Let's pray about this, and let's get this right. That's the way that we should handle it. You know, sometimes, not everybody's like that. Sometimes if you get out of line, they want to point out your flaws, they do lose their temper, and then they command, go to your room, and don't come out till springtime. You know, that's different. You know, God's not like that. When God starts to point out the things in our life that are wrong, don't mistake it for I'm not saved. Understand that it's because he loves you and he's trying to bring you to him to the best of his ability. He's perfect. He's trying to show you exactly what's wrong and to bring you close enough so you can fix it. He can heal you from the inside. It's not run from him and hide in a corner. You know, Jackson used to do that when he was a small child. He would get in trouble and he would run and go hide behind something. And he wouldn't look. You know, we shouldn't act like that. That's not what we're supposed to do. In Psalm 143 in verse 10, it says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." I don't want to run from him. I want to find him. Show me what I should do. Psalm 32 verse 8 says this, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." He's watching, and I'm ready. But this is another way that you know you're saved, when his presence isn't strange to you anymore. It's no longer strange. But what would you do? What would you do if God called you on the telephone? Think about that. What would you do if you look down at your phone? Get your phone out. And you look down and it said, "God." Decline or answer. Just like this. Think about it like this. Not everybody has the same mindset on this. Think about it. Think about, this is what I thought about when I first saw this sign. I thought, you know what I would do? The first thing I would do would be, I'd pray. And then I thought, wait a minute. God would be like, why is he praying? All he's got to do is answer the phone. All right. And then I thought, well, what would I say to him? How would I address him? I mean, I can't answer the phone like one of you guys. Like, hey, man, you can't do that. I figured the only thing I would do is answer the phone, either be completely silent and listen, or say, yes, Lord. That's all I could come up with. And that's what I would do. But you know, sometimes when we start to doubt, when we start to have fear, what we really want to do, we won't hit the decline button. So we know that he'll know that. He's going to know it anyway. But we do this, just like when somebody calls you and you look at the phone and you say, ooh. And you sit it down real easy because you don't want to accidentally hit the answer button. Because then you got to talk. You know what I'm saying? What if God called your phone just like this? Let's look at Romans 10, starting in verse 8. Says, "The word is near you, and it's in your mouth, and it's in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Don't let Satan make you doubt your salvation. And we're going to get ready to close. If you would stand for me. Let me tell you, this is how you know. When God starts to expose the things in your life that he does not like and that he wants to get rid of, he's not telling you you're lost. He's telling you that you're his. Come here and let's make it right. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. How many times can a person be saved? Once. All right, if the Lord has spoken to you and you want to speak to him, here's the altar. Maybe you can't remember that time when you were saved. Maybe you're not saved. That can happen today too. The altars are always open here. So if God has spoken to you, and you would honor him by speaking to him, the time is now.